Hello, and welcome to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement, where our vision is to reach, enhance, and advance lives. It is our prayer that you hear something during this podcast that both transforms and furthers you in the things of God. So, grab your notebook and Bible, and let's dig into the Word together.
Now, Lord, allow us to hear your voice, have those ears open to you, open our eyes that we may see. Give us a receptive heart and then the strength to walk out the word that is implanted. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we are in the second series of our year, our Christological year, as we are looking at Jesus being greater than everything. And in this second series, we are focusing in on how the scripture talks about his name. And again, as I alluded to when we started, it's easy for us to overlook that one portion of the text, but his name alone is greater than angels. It would have been one thing if the scripture would have said Jesus is greater than angels, and he is, but it's actually bigger than that. So if we look at Hebrews chapter 1, we'll begin at verse 1. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days he has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. He's the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature, upholds all things by the word of his power. When he has made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Having become as much better than the angels. Slow it down a little bit. Having become, underline that. Having become as much better than the angels as he has inherited. So an inheritance comes after something dies. A more excellent name than they. He became something. This shows us, when it comes to the Lord, that he became. There's something that happened to him at death. After the death, burial, and resurrection, and then the subsequent ascension of Jesus, he removed all his humanity. See, there's a principle here where Jesus is fully man, but he's also fully God at the same time. Some call it the hypostatic union. So he's fully man, he's fully God. This is a mystery. We're not going to run away from that mystery. We're going to look at it in the scripture. But when he died, he didn't need the humanity anymore. So all that was left was the fullness of his deity. Y'all walking with me so far? What the Hebrew writer is now writing about Jesus was and will always be true. And that is this, that Jesus and the Father are one. And let me take it a step further. Everything we know about God is also true of his Son. Y'all hear what I said? Everything we know about God is also true of his Son. Remember, a part of the mystery of Jesus is that while he was here, he was also there. While he was Father, he was also Son. While he was Spirit, he was, y'all with me? Now, go to John chapter 10. And I'm going through this on purpose. John chapter 10. And we're going to let the scripture and the words of Jesus himself talk to us. John chapter 10, and let's look at verse 24. You there? No? Yes. The Jews then gathered around him and were saying to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Anybody ever wanted to talk to the Lord like this? Look. Let's just get to it. Whatever is going on, just tell me plainly. 25, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. I think that would be his response for many of us too. Lord, just show me clear. I've been showing you. You just don't like what I'm showing you. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. But you do not believe because you're not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. Now, this is Jesus talking. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Wait. Go back. 29. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. Let's go back to 28. I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Y'all see that? That's Jesus. Jesus says, nobody can get you out of my hand. Then in verse 29, my Father who's given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of the Father's hand. Wait. Nobody can get them out of my hand. That's what Jesus said about himself. Then he said, nobody can get them out of the Father's hand, right? Then in verse 30, he really about to mess up. I and the Father are one. Now, let's stop here for a second. That word one in verse 30, that word one, it doesn't just mean one in will. Jesus was not saying me and the Father are in sync. He wasn't saying me and the Father agree. That's not what Jesus was saying at all. He wasn't saying me and the Father are on the same page. That's not what he's saying. As many theologians have said, this just meant that he was one with the Father in will. But D.A. Carson is one of the few who says, no. He was one with the Father in essence. In other words, not just one in will or desire, but a singular unit. In other words, he was saying, me and my Father are actually only one thing. We're a singular, does that make sense? We are one unit. Now, for those who go and say, no, he was just saying that him and the Father were just, they were just real close. Well, let's think about that. Let's if they're true, because sometimes you got to let the word prove it, right? If they're right, if Jesus was only saying that him and the Father agreed, look at verse 31. Look at verse 30. The Jews picked up stones to stone him. Now, if he was just saying, I agree with God, what you want to stone me for? Clearly, the primary source, okay, because when you're interpreting the scripture, the best way to interpret the scripture is you got to ask yourself this question first. What did it mean to them? Right? You got to look. So clearly, what they heard was not me and God agree. They had to hear something completely different because they were like, we about to kill you over that. We're going to stone you. Verse 32, Jesus answered them, I showed you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you stoning me? It's going to get even better. Here's 33. The Jews answer him, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God. So clearly, the people in this text, when he said, I and my Father are one, they heard Jesus say, I am God. Y'all with me? They heard Jesus say, come on, I gotta make my case here. I am God. Now, if that's not enough, go to chapter 14, same book. We still in John. Chapter 14, because he likes to make people upset in the Gospel of John. Chapter 14, let's look at verse 7. John chapter 14, verse 7. It reads, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Stop. This is Jesus. Philip, verse 8, said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? Wait. Philip said, show us the Father. Jesus responds, you don't know me? How are you asking me to see the Father, and I'm here? Come on. Let me give it to you even like this. The only way we can visualize God is through Jesus. There is no other way to visualize the Father except through the Son. Y'all. All right, is this making sense? Remember I told you the word on Sunday, anthropomorphism, where you ascribe to God a human characteristic, right? God don't have hands. God don't have eyes, right? God doesn't, you know, he don't walk. God just is, right? He just is. So the only way for us to visualize God is through the Son. This is why it get real funny when people try to misrepresent Jesus. Because if you can make Jesus to be somebody he's not, you're also saying that the Father is something different too. So if Jesus is no better than Muhammad, now we catching it. This is why you can get somebody who live in a hellish life, get on that award stage and say, I first want to give honor to God. They don't have no problem talking about the Father. They have a real issue talking about the Son. Are y'all with me here? Now, he says again. Oh, you didn't go with me. Yes, you did. John 4. Oh, you way back in verse 1. You all right? I'm at verse 8. You with me? She'll catch up with me. Verse 8. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. It's enough. Verse 9. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? I mean, Jesus is so confused by this conversation. It's like, how in the world can you say that? Verse 10, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me, verse 11, that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. I mean, this is Jesus himself. So I'm going to say it again. As I build my case, everything that is true about the Father is also true about the Son. Let's go another step further. Everything true about the Father's name is also true about the Son's name. Put Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4 back on the screen. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4. Let's go back to it. Everything true about the name of the Father is also true about the name of the Son. Having become as much better than the angels, as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. Now remember, he dies, his humanity is now gone, which means he's full deity. Y'all with me? He's now no longer encumbered by any of this stuff. And he's already told us that the Father been with him the whole time. This means, because remember I said on Sunday, we don't understand the name of the Lord. Everything you learn about the name of the Father is also true of the name of the Son. Jesus actually alluded to this reality himself. Go to John 8. just building my case. John 8. Look at John 8, and let's look at verse 40 and 9. Let's start at verse 48. John 8, 48. John 8, 48. It reads, "The Jews answered and said to him, 'Do we not say rightly? Do we not say rightly that you're a Samaritan and have a demon?'" That's what they said. "We think you got a demon." This is John 8, 48. 49. I'm going all the way to 59. 48 to 59. "Jesus answered, 'I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me.'" Oh, boy. So much to say, right? But "I do not seek my glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my words, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon." We know you got a demon. "Abraham died, the prophets also. And you say, if anyone keeps my words, he will never taste death. Surely you're not greater than our father Abraham, who died. The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be?" Now, wait. "Everything true of the Father is true of the Son." Come on. "His name alone is greater than all the angels." I'm setting this course, and they're asking him, "Who are you? If you don't have a demon, you talking about Abraham, who are you?" Jesus answered, 54, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. And you have not come to know him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I'll be a liar like you." Jesus is ruthless, boy. "But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Now, wait. Stop. Jesus just said, "Abraham couldn't wait to see me, and he saw me." This is Jesus telling the Jews that he had seen Abraham. They're like, that's why they keep saying, "This dude got a demon, because Abraham is dead. Ain't no way." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Like, this dude is off. Jesus said to them, 58, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born," watch closely, "I am." Stop. Don't do it too fast. "Everything true of the Father is true of the Son. Before Abraham was born, I am." Now, he had to say something real big, and we know it based upon verse 59. "Therefore, they picked up stones." They picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Let's go back to 58. Put that back on the screen. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born," what are those next two words? Come on. "Before Abraham was born," next two words, "I am." Now, for all of you guys, you should probably be putting this together a little bit. Everything true of the Father is true of the Son. Now, this is Jesus talking in the New Testament. And they were like, "Who are you?" Notice he didn't say, "I'm Jesus." He didn't even say he was the Christ. His response was, "I am." Where have I seen that before? Go to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, 13 and 14. Exodus 3, 13 and 14. It reads, "Then Moses said to God, 'Behold,'" Moses said to who? Who's Moses talking to? The Father, right? Okay, everything true of the Father is also true of the Son. Okay, Moses said to God, behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now, they may say to me, what's his name? What shall I say to him? 14. God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. So wait a minute. Jesus is literally speaking to a group of people who would have known the Torah, right? They would have known the law. And he sits there and they're like, you got a demon because you're talking about you done seen Abraham. You cuckoo, right? Because you ain't even 50. Ain't no way you done seen Abraham. And so Jesus then, not only, if he would have said he was the Messiah, that would have been bad enough. That's not what he said. He literally used, the name of God revealed to Moses to speak of himself. Jesus was like, they were like, well, who are you? He was like, I am. They were like, wait, and wait. What did you just call yourself? I am. So now they want to kill him. This is an important reality because the I am that I am is one of the most important names because folk can't make sense of it. What exactly did God mean? You're about to go do something great. And Moses, like, can I tell him something? Tell him Jehovah Jireh sent you. Tell him, you know, Jehovah Sikkenu. Tell him, you know, Jehovah Nisi. No, come find something. He said, just tell him I am. Tell him I am that I am. There's so much written on that one phrase, I am that I am. But there's three things I want to highlight for your notes. Number one, the name is unique. It can only be applied to the one who cannot be duplicated. Oh, yes. I said the name is unique. That's number one. It can only be applied to the one who cannot be duplicated. See, his name is not like John. There can be multiple Johns, right? Like, I went to school with a guy named John. John who? Ain't that what we would say? I went to school with a guy named John. What's his last name? Because you probably know a bunch of Johns. But that's not the I am. It's unique. It can only be applied to the one who cannot be duplicated. Now think about what I said about God. He cannot be duplicated. Make sure you got that in your notes. He cannot be duplicated. So everyone who tries to take his place is counterfeit. If he cannot be duplicated, that means nobody can sit in his seat. This makes sense. So when we get to saying his name alone is above the angels, and that name cannot be duplicated, that means that only he can sit in that spot. But this brings me to number two. His name is infinite. So the first thing I said, number one, his name is unique. But number two, his name is infinite. His name is infinite. It can only be applied to the one who cannot be regulated. It can only be applied to the one who cannot be regulated. Let me go back to number one so you got your notes right and Veronica don't get me. Number one, it is unique. It can only be applied to the one who cannot be duplicated. Number two, his name is infinite. It can only be applied to the one who cannot be regulated. It's like, it's not like the term president. See, a president can be regulated. Explain, president of what? You see what I just did there? Right? That's president so-and-so. What is he the president of? Because that term, though large, has regulations. God ain't like that. His name is infinite. It's not finite. It's infinite. There is no regulation. There is no place that God walks that he don't have ultimate authority. Y'all, are you catching what I'm saying? I think you guys have heard me talk about the Embassy Row in Washington, D.C. It's an area right around Georgetown where there's a bunch of embassies of all the countries. And what happens is, for instance, if you go to the Republic of the Congo and they have an embassy right there, soon as you step foot, you're in the Congo. You come out of there, you go on the other side of the gate, you're back in Washington, D.C. You go in Congo, Washington, D.C. That's the way the embassy works. That's the way the embassy works, okay? So that means that that is sovereign territory of that country if you can make it to the embassy. You are in that country, okay? But God, watch it, unlike a president. So if the ruler of the Congo came to Washington, D.C., you're the ruler of the Congo, not D.C. But if you got to your own embassy in D.C., you can run everything in there, in the embassy. See, that means that that president, the ruler of the Congo, has finite authority. God ain't like that. Everywhere he goes, he owns. Then you start reading scriptures like everywhere the sole of your foot trod. You'll start reading them scriptures different, right? So everywhere he goes, he has all authority. His name is not finite. It's infinite. Then number three, it's limitless. His name is limitless. It can only be applied to the one who cannot be limited. Let's go back to number one. Number one, it is unique. It can only be applied to the one who cannot be duplicated. Number two, it's infinite. It can only be applied to the one who cannot be regulated. Number three, it's limitless. It can only be applied to the one who cannot be limited. All right? That means his name is not like words like time, resource. Come on. See, time is limited. Resources are limited. Space is limited. You can't confine God to that. His name is outside of time, outside of space. He don't run out. Notice the more you talk about his name, the less you comprehend it. Think about this for a minute. So you mean to tell me that the name of the Lord is unique, infinite, and limitless? Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. What other name is that? None other. And Jesus, when they said, "Who are you?" He said, "I am. I'm unique," right? "I'm unique, I'm infinite, I'm limitless." That's what they were like, "Kill him. Stone this guy. Stone this guy," because he's making himself equal with God. He wasn't making himself equal with God. He was telling them he was. This wasn't about equality. This was about oneness. He wasn't saying, "I'm on his level." He was saying, "I am him." See, the song says, and we sing it, and I don't think y'all done got it yet, but the next time we sing it, go ahead, fall out, have a fit. The song says, his name heals all. His name delivers all. It works. Oh! We see another one. "You're whatever I need you to be. You're the I am you are." The language don't even make sense because he don't make sense. See, this one of the reasons why some of us don't see the power of God operating in our life is because you're trying to confine God's power to your comprehension. You're trying to make sense of somebody who don't make sense. And you're afraid to say, "God, you don't make sense." So you're trying to figure out someone who has no way to figure out. No. There is nobody else in this spot. There is no limit to him. You get to asking God silly questions. Like, "God, they said," right? "God, they said there was no more spaces left." As if "I am" is confined to what they said. "God, they said they never approve anybody with my score." As if God cares anything about your score. "God, they said nobody's ever come back from this." Huh? God, they said that they never let nobody in the program with these credentials. God, they said nobody's ever been healed of this. As long as God is finite, you can be worried. As long as God can be limited, you can be worried. As long as God has an equal, you can be worried. But when you began to understand you are unique, there is no other God, right? You are infinite and you're limitless. Eugene Carpenter, theologian, when he talks about I am that I am, he defines it in such a powerful way. I'm just going to read what Eugene Carpenter says. He says, he defines I am that I am like this. I will be all that I need to be to affect all that I have committed myself to for you and my people. Whew. I'll do it again. I will be all I need to affect all I've committed myself to for you and my people. Y'all need it one more time? I'll do it anyway. I will be all that I need to affect all that I've committed myself to for you and my people. So the only question you need to ask God is, God, are you in it? I know. That's the only question. Lord, you in it? Have you committed yourself to it? Because if you've committed yourself to it, you'll be anything necessary to accomplish what you committed yourself to. You see what I'm saying? Do you understand? If you're in it, nothing else matters. He'll be the fourth man in the furnace. Right. He'll be the fourth man in the furnace and don't even nobody know how he got in there. He didn't walk by nobody. Come on, see, so we don't preach that part of the text, Chantrice. He didn't walk by nobody. They put the three Hebrew boys in there and he didn't walk by nobody. Well, that's because he was invisible. Couldn't been invisible because when they looked in there, they say, I see a fourth. And it looked like that might be the Son of God. Huh? Which means if, watch it. Somebody preach all of this. Watch this. If they didn't see him walk in there when they put the Hebrew boys in there, that means he was already in there waiting on them. Oh, he welcomed them to the fire. He didn't slide by nobody. He was in there the whole time. I need some scripture to prove that. If you go to the depths of hell, I'll be there. If you go to the highest mountain, I'll be there. Where can you escape from my presence? This is the Bible. Huh? This is the word of God. So they open up the door to the fiery furnace. They throw them in there. And here's the Lord like, hey, welcome. How y'all? We'll be fine. They'll see us all in a minute. Give us a minute. Huh? He will be all that he needs to be to affect all that he's committed himself to. Jesus, my Lord. That means that anything he commits himself to is a done deal. Huh? Yeah, see, that thing just hit. Huh? Anything God commits himself to is a done deal. So how about this? You stop committing yourself to stuff he ain't committed himself to. You stop saying yes to stuff he didn't say yes to first. Huh? And then asking the ministering spirits, which are below his name, to bail you out. Huh? When he commits himself, okay, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. If he said it, he made it good. He says, right after that, he says, I've already received the command to bless. He's already blessed and I can't reverse it. That's what the prophet said. He said, God's already blessed it. I can't reverse it. Once God commits himself to it, it's done. Can't be reversed. Try whatever you want. This is why some of us got to stop being afraid of stuff. God didn't give you the spirit of fear. What you afraid of? And sometimes what we're afraid of is we're afraid that, watch this, our own decisions are about to find us out. Because we know we are committed to things that God is not in. And when you commit to things that God is not in, his name is not on it, only yours is. And some of our names ain't even good. It's true. Some of our names are not even good. So with this definition in view, with that definition I just gave you, I'm going to read it again. I will be all that I need to be to affect all I've committed myself to for you and my people. Now keep that in mind. Now go to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, let's read 10 and 11. Wrap your head around this. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. Think about this. I will be everything I need to be to accomplish everything I commit myself to. That's what he says about himself. So when he was telling Moses, I am, he was basically saying, I'm going to be anything I need to be to accomplish what I'm committed to. Isaiah 55, verse 10. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word, so will my word, wait a minute, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. So wait a minute. When I send my word, it's going to do what I say. My word ain't going to fail. Y'all still ain't caught it. So it's going to be a right hook in a minute. The word don't fail. So when God said, let there be light, there was not a maybe. Because the word don't fail. You still ain't caught it yet. When I send my word, it's going to, okay, I will be all that I need to be to affect all that I've committed myself to for you and for my people. So when I send my word, it's not going to return void. The Bible says it's going to accomplish what I desire and it's going to succeed in the matter for which I sent it. Do we just read that? Okay, go to John chapter 1. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. In the beginning was the who?
Word.
Oh, wait. The word was with God. The word was who? He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now, we know that Jesus is the word. Do we not know this? And we just read that the word is also who? God. And we just read in Isaiah that when the word goes out, it's going to accomplish. Every time I send the word, Jesus, it's going to do exactly what I sent it to do. I am. I will be all that I need to be to affect all I have committed myself to for you and for my people. So literally, the Father looked at the world and said, let me send a word. And his name was Jesus. That's what we had to call him. He shall be called. He shall be called. That's not who he was. He shall be called. When they asked him, who are you? Okay. Jesus asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? Then he asked them, who do you say that I am? Well, we think you're the Messiah. Got it. Because Christ, Greek, Messiah. Understood. But when they asked Jesus himself, who are you? Jesus said, I am. See, completely different question. Well, the I am is, I will be all that I need to be to effect all that I've committed myself to for you and my people. So the only reason that he had to show up like he had to show up is because he was becoming everything we needed him to become to accomplish all the Father needed him to accomplish for us. That's who he is. If God could have got us saved through a bird, he would have sent him like that. He tried to get it through a flood, and that didn't do it. Y'all with me here? So we had to send his word, because the word is going to accomplish what I send forth. It can't fail. When Jesus showed up, there was no way that it was going to be a failing mission, because the word don't return void. It accomplishes what I desire and what I send it forth to do. As a matter of fact, it's impossible for the word to return void when literally accomplished is in its name. His name is, I will be all that I need to be to effect all that I have committed myself to for you. That's his name. Which means it's impossible for him to even be present and fail. Just like it's impossible for me to be present and not be black and male, it's impossible for God to be present and fail. It's impossible for me, if I'm here, this is what you get. It's impossible for me to be anything else. I can dress as something, huh? But this is still the truth. It's impossible for God to be present and failure to also be present. In order for darkness to be present, God has to leave. Because in him is light and no darkness at all. The presence of darkness is the absence of light. Darkness is not a created thing. Are y'all with me? Just like the presence of evil is the absence of God. How did God create evil? Mm-mm. God didn't create evil. Evil's presence is God's absence. She just called it. So please understand, when God shows up, failure has to leave. Is this making sense? And that name alone is higher than the angels. I told y'all. No wonder it says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous can run into it and get safe. Because I can go into the name. Okay, I was talking to my friend of mine, Pastor Matt. Pastor Matt, we praying for him, but I was talking to him today, and we were talking through the word, and he says, the reason that someone can say stop in the name of the law is because the law contains the authority. You with me? You don't say stop in my name. The only reason I get to tell you stop is because of who I'm under. So somebody stop in the name of the law. What I'm saying is that the law contains the authority. But when we were talking about it, I said, guess what else the law contains? A jail. The law contains a jail. The law contains a courthouse. The law contains freedom and bondage. The law contains reward. All of that is in the name. All of that's in the law. So when Jesus said you can run into it, everything that he represents, you go there. You can get there. Does that make sense to everybody? So when the world needed a savior, Jesus said, I am. Huh? When the world needed a perfect sacrifice, Jesus said, I am. When the world needed someone to overcome death, hell, and the grave, I am. What do you need? Because watch this. Unless it's dark, he is. And some of us need to admit that we're asking God to be dark. Get them, God. That's dark. Show them, God. That's also dark. Because I didn't show you when you did it the first time. Huh? I'm telling you, I believe that so many people have selective empathy. Huh? Just selective empathy and selective apathy. And simultaneously calling themselves saved, sanctified, and full of the precious gift. I want us to think about the things that we need. I put up all of those images on Sunday of these great and fearless angels. And his name is better than that. And what we've done is we've made all of these things big church business. Right? You got all of these, you know, realms and dimensions conference. You want to go to the next realm and the next dimension? Huh? For a while it was levels. The next level conference. But I guess that didn't sound spooky enough. So now we're going to realms and dimensions. Portals. We got portals, realms, and dimensions that we go into. We got to open portals. Huh? But we don't even understand his name. How you praying for a portal and you not even nice? You're not kind. Huh? You ask God to smite thy mother down. Smite my mother down. As the one who has never giveneth me anything that I desireth. God is like, no. So when the world needed a savior, Jesus said, I am. A sacrifice, I am. A conqueror, I am. Even a king, I am. I also find this amazing. He was fully a king and didn't look like one. And now we got people that are not even servants that want to look like kings. A few years ago, there was a preacher. They throned him during service. The Lord's unique, infinite, and limitless name makes him more than dependable. Think about that for a minute. You can read in the scripture, Michael said, sorry it took me so long, I got tied up. That's an angel. My bad, I'm a little late. Got tied up, was fighting a king. Got in a war with a king. My bad, I'm a little late, but I'm here now. That's Michael, he's an archangel. He got tied up. And Jesus is like, my name. Watch this. If his name is higher than angels, how big do you think his presence is? Stand and proclaim. Huh? No other name. It's Jesus. So you mean to tell me that we be asking God for his presence and we don't even have his name right? I will be all I need to be to effect all that I have committed myself to for you and my people. Which means you're praying for an open door, but it's the closed door that's going to accomplish my will. You're praying for that job, but it's not getting it that's going to accomplish my will. You're praying that I approve the loan, but it's in not being approved that my will is going to be done. Because if I approve the loan here, you'll miss the better interest rate down the way. I need you to get desperate enough to make that phone call. And right now, you're too arrogant to make it. So I have to break down your arrogance with the no, so that you can do what I always wanted you to do. If you were humble at the start, you wouldn't have had to have those closed doors. Some of us are in the issues that we're in because we've already demonstrated to God that we're not listening. And I'm going to be whatever I need to be to accomplish what I need to accomplish in you and for my people. Amen. And so, if I told you not to go on that trip and you decided you was going to go anyway, if I need to be 4 flat tires, if I got to be 4 flat tires because you was going to go with the donut. You was going to drive 1,000 miles with that donut on. So if I got to be 4 flat tires, now you could have kept all that tire money. You could have kept it, but you didn't listen when I said no. Because I didn't want you there. I didn't want you there for my glory, for your protection. I know the thoughts I have for you. His infinite, limitless, unique nature makes him dependable. Say he's dependable. Now I'll go to this last text. I'll read it. I'm done. Ephesians chapter 1, 18 through 23. Ephesians 1. Now, that's a lot of people not dependable, but the Lord's not one of them. He's dependable. Ephesians 1, 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. That's my prayer for y'all tonight. So that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working and the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Now he's seated, right? Now we just read in Hebrews that he was sitting down. So this is a parallel passage. Watch this, verse 21. Far above. What's the next word? All. Far above. Next word. All rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named. Not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him, that's Jesus, as head over all things to the church. Now that's an important text right there. Jesus is the head of the church. 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 So when you don't think you need to be a part of the church, you're not under the headship of Jesus, because he's the head of the church. And for all of you who think you can be a church by yourself, You cannot. Ecclesia is plural. There's no such thing as a one-person church. Huh? I don't need no covering. Jesus is my covering. Jesus is the covering of the church. He's the head of the church. Listen, the groom ain't gonna kick it with you when you hate his bride. When you despise his bride. When you talk about his bride. When every post is about his bride. Amen? Well, you know, the church is raggedy. And the church is, wait. If the bride's dress is spotted, what are you doing to get it together? You on the sidelines and you don't want to get a pass in the game, but yet you want to coach. You have no sweat equity. You're not serious about getting these spots off this dress. Until you're ready to roll your sleeves up and actually do some work, hush. Get quiet. Because there are those of us out here who are doing what is necessary to make sure that the church is prepared without spot or wrinkle. And if you can do it better, you go start you one. Amen. And don't start it out of rebellion, because those close. Amen. And we don't need another club. And we don't need another juke joint. And we don't need another show where you're on the stage starring. Amen. That's the word of the Lord. Because see, what has happened is we have minimized the brevity of this role and made it about something that it is not. Something's going on in the body. Oh, Lord. Okay, God. Okay. Something's going on in the body where I truly believe that we are quickly approaching that premise where he says, keep your festivals. I'll put it in 2024. I don't want another conference. I don't want to see another convocation. I don't need to see none of that. None of that. At some point, the Lord is like, when are y'all actually going to worship? You're literally going from conference planning to conference planning to conference. Who's pastoring? You go from conference to conference, from seminar to seminar, huh? But at what point does anybody say, wait a minute, there's a church that needs to be tended to? This is serious work. And what we have is we haven't taught the people. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So everybody listening to me, in here, on the virtual, listen. Whatever you think is bigger than God, that's a lie. Okay. We got whole angels out here that we can't even make sense of, and they believe Jesus. They got eyes everywhere. That angel showed up in your room, you'd be freaked out. Huh? Put that Ophanim on the screen. Put the Ophanim on there. I want. There you go. That's called an Ophanim right there. That's the wheel in the middle of a wheel. Let that joker show up in your house. That is an Ophanim. That's what that is. That's Ezekiel 10. Let him show up. Bunch of eyes all around the place. Huh? Now, here's the thing. This is beneath Jesus. And Jesus is the head of the church. Y'all, this is beneath Jesus. Jesus is the head of the church. And all things are under his feet. And you have nothing to worry about. I will be whatever I need to be. Come on now. You think the Lord can't bring an end to some stuff? Ophanim, O-P-H. Huh? Now, love, watch. You think Jesus can't bring an end to some stuff? You want some people to get some get right? Let one of them show up over Ukraine. Huh? Let one of them show up over to Ukraine. Put the first one up with the wings, the one we ain't got the name for. Not him. The next one up. That's the one we like to see. There you go. Let that show up. Now put the regular angel up. Put him up, the one before this. She laughing at you. Now see, this guy got held up. He was late. He's busy fighting and he was late. He was late. Now watch this. Some of us are calling on him when the very thing that we're hoping that he will beat is already under our feet. We're literally preparing for a war that's already been won. We got all these people trying to be soldiers in the army of the Lord for a battle he already won. He won. It's under his feet. How many of us crush a bug? I mean, crush it, smithereens. Crush it to smithereens. And then after you crush it, then, after you've crushed it, then you go and prepare yourself to fight the dead bug. Unless the bug is dead. You've crushed it. You're calling everybody in the house like, let's get together. Everybody get your own individual can of Raid. We all gonna get, it's dead. So we have whole warfare conferences. Instead of teaching people about the defeated foe. And some of the things you're fighting are enemies that you have on life support. You literally are keeping them alive. Their presence in your life is due to the ER of your flesh. You're keeping it alive and complaining about its presence. Pull the plug. Pull the plug, walk away. Do not resuscitate. Oh, it's hard because you're in love with your offender. That's right. That's exactly what it is, Stockholm Syndrome. You're absolutely right. And some of us have Stockholm Syndrome of our own history. I'm in love with my broken version so much that I hate my free version. All right. But that's it. Father, thanks for tonight. Honor you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement. Remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So I challenge you to make hearing the word a consistent habit. And if you know someone who may benefit from hearing this teaching, I encourage you to send it to them as well. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you and give you peace. This is my prayer.